There are a few things that have transpired this morning since we read the gospel, so I just want you to take a moment to refresh your memory. This is about a blind beggar who's on the side of the road, and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, and he shouts out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people try to tell him to be quiet, don't bother him. And then Jesus tells those around him to call Bartimaeus to him. And he throws off his coat, goes to him, and is healed. So, how many of you have an old ratty coat in your closet? Right? Something you should probably get rid of. I know, I have a coat problem. Just ask my wife. I have too many for whatever reason. I give them away. Sometimes we donate them, but it seems like you can't ever have too many coats.
No.
Some of you are looking at me like, now we really know how to pray for you, Pastor. But this is my son's old ratty coat. It's been torn on ski lifts, and the zipper broke, and my sister sewed it, and whatnot. You probably all have something like this in your closet, something that you've worn. Maybe it brings back memories for you, things that you did while you were wearing that coat. Maybe you can think back to good times and sad times when you were wearing that article of clothing and what life was like. And I know I have an old barn coat that I've had since we were first married. And I've carried a lot of firewood in that thing. It's a Carhartt. Good advertisement for them. It's still sort of holding together, but a lot of water under the bridge with that coat. So Bartimaeus, think about him for a minute. He was the son of Timaeus. That's what Bar means, Bar, son of Timaeus. And he was completely blind. We don't know if he was blind from birth or if it happened later in life, but we don't really know how old he is either. What we do know is that he can't see anything. He's totally and completely blind. And he has to beg to make a living. You imagine what it would be like to be blind, totally and completely. Have you ever been down in the caves or cabins anywhere, somewhere of these tourist trap things, and maybe the tour guide shuts off the lights in the cave where you are and says it is now 140% darker than the darkest night on earth when you're up on the surface? Because there's just zero ambient light. There's just nothing. No stars, no city 100 miles away, lightly tinging the sky, nothing. Bartimaeus had to rely on others for everything, pretty much. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a family, no kids, no wife. He was at the bottom of society. Sitting there on the side of the road, animals passing by. He was at the level of their feet and everything else that comes on the road when animals go by. It wasn't a good place for him to be. It wasn't a good life to have. Dusty, smelly, hot. It's humiliating. Think about it. It wasn't just some happy guy on the side of the road yelling for Jesus to heal him. He'd had however many years of his life had been terrible. No job. No social status. Few, if any, friends. One day going into the next, sort of eking out this survival on the dusty streets. One day he's sitting there, he's waiting for people to drop some money into his cup or maybe onto his cloak. Sometimes they would spread out their cloak in front of them and people would place coins on that if they didn't have a cup. And he hears this commotion. It's Jesus coming. It's a whole crowd. You got to wonder, when he woke up that day, if he was excited. He woke up, he heard the sounds of the town beginning to come to life that morning, farmer driving his animals maybe, a merchant starting to set up their wares, getting ready, children getting an early start to the day, playing in the streets. And so he grabs his cloak and he heads out towards Beggar's Row down at the end of town where people like him have to go. It's a public nuisance, right? I mean, how many times do we walk past someone like that and think, ugh? Or, you know, occasionally we see folks like that around even in our neck of the woods, and You know, some folks have legitimate needs, some folks don't. It's hard to tell. Maybe he was excited because it was coming up on Passover. You know, that would mean larger crowds, that would mean maybe people being a little bit more generous. Maybe he was thinking that that day he was going to have a little better haul from his begging than other days. And in the meantime, this crowd had gathered around Jesus. And it was about a 15-mile trip from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's a good long walk, right? How many times is that back and forth for you folks up and down the hill? 15 miles, right? Jesus was making his way there, and it was coming up on Passover. And there was a lot of anticipation in the crowd with Jesus. You know, they were thinking perhaps that this was the Messiah that was going to deliver them from the Roman oppression. They were going to overthrow the Roman government and the occupation of the Jews. It was a really exciting time. There were important people gathered around Jesus as they were traveling, and they were listening to him talking about the coming of the kingdom of God and what all of that meant. It was a really exciting time. And there were likely people that thought they just had to talk to Jesus because they were important, and people trying to get into his inner circle. But for Bartimaeus, large crowds meant larger opportunity for begging. More people coming by. A few more pennies in the pot, maybe. Probably he heard the crowd coming. We know he couldn't see it. And we read that when one of our senses is disabled, our other senses actually become more heightened to be able to accommodate that. So he probably heard the crowd coming. He heard the noise of folks getting louder and louder and louder as they came up the street. Maybe he began to increase his anticipation, his expectation of what was happening. And he heard about Jesus. Jesus' reputation had preceded him. He knew that Jesus was a healer, how he could heal, and always when would go to the sick, and the sick that were brought to him that would be healed. He even knew that Jesus had healed blind people. And he knew that Jesus couldn't do that unless God was really with him. So I wonder if his heart began to pound as the crowd got closer, as the sound became louder and louder. If only he could get in front of Jesus. If only he could talk with Jesus. He believed that Jesus would heal him. This was his moment. This was Bartimaeus' moment. Helen Keller said that it was better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two eyes and see nothing. And so for Bartimaeus, this was his moment. Act now. Step out in faith. The time is now. It's right in front of you. Try to rise above the crowd or forever be consigned to blindness and live with the regret over what might have been as Jesus passed by. You know, there are moments like that for each person in life. You can probably think of some key moments in your life where it was sort of a make or break moment, where you had to fish or cut bait, as they say. Moments that make or break or determine your life's course or the course of your faith. This was his moment. He had to overcome the negativism of the crowd, right? He had to challenge his own disability, the deficiency of his own handicap that he'd lived with for literally God only knows how many years. And so he raises his voice with great courage above the crowd and says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Look at the response of the crowd. They tried to shut him up. They were like, "Oh, come on. Jesus is coming through town and this person has to try to cause a ruckus. Jesus doesn't have time for this. We're headed to Jerusalem. He's going to overthrow the government. He doesn't have time to deal with Bartimaeus. Let beggars be beggars. Let's move on." See the irony? Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. right? And bringing the kingdom of God. And the people are following him, but they don't get it. What about the gospel last week? Remember those two disciples that were so high on themselves that they wanted to sit at Jesus' right and left hand when he came into his kingdom? Can you imagine? Hey, Jesus. Hey, buddy. We're pretty awesome, aren't we? We think we should get to sit next to you and have that. And Jesus did an internal facepalm. It is not for me to decide who sits on my right or my left, guys. So the people around Jesus are just completely missing it. They're saying, don't bother the master, you old beggar. He has better things to do than waste time with you. The people are at the right place, at the right time in history. An amazing time, historic. And they are completely missing the point. It would be kind of like if we pat ourselves on the back for going to church, but then don't live it when we leave. It's like being in the right place on Sunday morning, but it doesn't mean a whole lot when we leave if we don't reflect the truth that we have just met with Jesus. Imagine a quarterback talking about the awesome coaching that they received. And the amazing plays that have been written up in the coach's playbook. And they even put it up on the wall and talked about how it would go down if they played the game that way. Then the quarterback goes home and never plays the game and throws the ball. Just talked about it and talked about what a great coach he had. So here they are with Jesus, right? Right place, right time, having all of the opportunity in the world. Here's a golden moment for them to help bring in the kingdom. Here's this blind beggar. They know Jesus has healed people in the past. They come and say, Jesus, this is the son of Timaeus. He's been blind however many years. We want to bring him to you for healing. They don't. They're like, shut up. Leave us alone. We're headed to Jerusalem, more important than you. But they completely missed the chance, right? They were long on listening. They were very short on obeying. And they told the beggar that Jesus didn't have time for. He's undeterred. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears him. You notice in the scriptures that Jesus doesn't call him over. He doesn't say, Bartimaeus, come on over. I want to talk to you. No. If we look at it, Jesus stands there and he says, call him here. He's telling the crowd. He's telling his disciples, call him over to me. Jesus could have done it, but he knew the disciples and the crowd needed to do it. Right? It's kind of like us. He tells us, call him here. Call them here. Call the lost and the least to come to me. That's what we're told to do. Can you imagine the contrast that Jesus was seeing? He had the unbridled, selfish ambition of two of his disciples that we read in last week's gospel reading. And now this week, he has this beautiful faith in Bartimaeus, who has no social stature, no nothing. And the people that should be getting it because they've been with Jesus are just completely not. But this guy does. Just amazing. So Jesus sees faith. And we know that God responds to faith. Then Jesus asks what we might think is a dumb question. And he says to him, what do you want for me to do for you? Well, duh, I'm blind, right? I mean, Jesus knew that. But he wanted him to articulate his request in faith. Maybe for Bartimaeus and for his own affirmation that God answers prayer and that faith is part of that relationship. Maybe it was for everybody around to be able to hear what Bartimaeus would say. Think of it. Total darkness. For how long? And then the first thing that he sees is the face of Jesus. What an image must have been etched in his mind for the first thing to look upon, the face of Jesus. There's a theologian out there that writes, and for you and me too, that will be the greatest of sights. When we awake from the dream men call life, when we put off the image of earth and break the bonds of time and mortality, when the scales of time and sense have fallen from our eyes, and this garment of corruption has been put off, and when this mortality has put on immortality, and we awaken in that everlasting morning, that will be the sight that will stir us and hold us. But the story doesn't end here, right? We're told that Jesus heals him. And we're told that after Jesus healed him, he never went back and grabbed his cloak. He threw his cloak on the road, and he sprang and he went to Jesus. Jesus heals him. He says, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. We know Bartimaeus' name through some other church historians because he shows up as a leader in the early church. Something I didn't know, discovered that in my research this week. So many people that are healed, we don't know their name in Scripture, but in this case with him, perhaps we know his name because he shows up as an early church leader. He joins the procession. He follows Jesus to Jerusalem. You can believe he was telling everybody in that crowd and everybody he met what Jesus had done for him. So it's a life lifted from the dust, right? Total despair, restored, saved, healed, delivered, and then sent forth in the name of Christ, raised as a leader to lead others to him, a disciple making disciples. So Jesus is coming down the road, comes to Bartimaeus. Jesus comes down the road to us. Bartimaeus has faith, calls upon him. Jesus sends his disciples to him. Let's place ourselves in that situation in the story. To the disciples or to the crowd, will we tell the Bartimaeuses around us to go away? We're too busy. We don't have time. I don't deal with your type. Whatever the excuse may be. Or will we see them along the road in our lives, those that are crying out and that are lost, and bring them to Jesus and lead them to God? Where in our lives are we passing by the Bartimaeuses along the road? And so they bring him, and Jesus heals him. His whole life changes. He leaves behind his old life and follows Jesus. He leaves behind his old cloak laying on the roadside in Jericho, dusty. Doesn't need it anymore. He's a man whose life has been radically changed by Jesus. And it's a reminder to us that when Jesus changes our lives, we don't need the old stuff anymore. In the name of Christ.